Who's ready for the word of the Lord? Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence. But Lord, actually, we also thank you for one another. Thank you for community. Thank you for good people that are here today. And we just pray, Lord, our hearts will be receptive to your word. I pray, Lord, as I bring this message, that there'll be something in this message that will resonate with us all. We pray this message, Lord, will bring life to people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So how many days until Christmas? How many? 10 days. And ladies and gentlemen, hey, who remembers that guy on TV years ago? I think he's dead now. But Big Kev. Who remembers Big Kev? And he used to start his adverts off by saying, I'm excited. We should be excited about Jesus, but I'm excited about Christmas. I'm excited because my boys and Cherie are coming home. So I'm excited. Jared's doing the flight from London. He's doing the direct flight, testing that out. So he arrives at 12:30 tomorrow. That's going to be good. He said, Dad, pick us up. Take us out to the Dome Cafe immediately so he can get a coffee. So he comes home tomorrow. Ben and Cherie, they're going to come. They're going to fly in on Christmas Day for us. So we're really pleased about that. But Luca's coming home too. Luca's coming. My little elf boy there. Yeah, he's coming. And so we don't really care much else about who else is coming, actually. Really, just bring Luca and we'll have him. Yes? Also, the other announcement is Cherie's pregnant. And so it means Luca's going to be a brother. And so the baby's due in July. My birthday's in July. Whatever that means. Also, that does, for us as a family, it just doesn't end there. We've also got the Molyneux side of the family. That's David and Paul. They're coming over with their family from Melbourne. We're really excited about that. So we're looking forward to family, Christmas for us, getting together with our loved ones. But I also understand, you know, I am one of those people who enjoys Christmas. Maybe you are too. But I understand that not everybody enjoys Christmas. Maybe you're a little bit like that. And I also appreciate that Christmas, for some people, can be a reminder of painful memories as well. That's just how it is, isn't it? Life is what it is. And maybe that's how it is for you. But whatever Christmas means to you, whether good or whether painful, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, I pray that you all will still have a truly blessed Christmas. Amen? Amen? So, what is this celebration we call Christmas all about? Well, as Christians, I think we would say that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Am I right or am I right? That's how we understand Christmas. But the truth is, much of what we celebrate at Christmas has more to do with tradition than actually with the birth of Jesus. Now, before I offend anybody, and I've got stuff to offend you in a little while, but this is actually a two-part message. This is, you know, anyway. I'm not kicking tradition. I love traditions. I love Christmas traditions. Absolutely. I'm not, you know, a grouchy old man just yet, though I'm headed in that direction, I think. But I like tradition. But Christmas trees, Santa Claus and the elves, Rudolph, who's got a red nose, mistletoe, although I don't mind kissing Rochelle under mistletoe any day, amen. Fruit mince pies, plum puddings, turkey, eggnog, if you're into that, Christmas lights, maxed out credit cards, exchanging of presents, and even family gatherings. Even family gatherings. None of these things actually have anything to do with the birth of Jesus at all. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet for many people, those things I've just said, they actually define Christmas for a lot of people. And this may come as a shock to you, and if you need counseling after what I'm going to say. But Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, and Santa were not present when Jesus was born. I just wanted to clear that up, clear the air. They're just nice, feel-good traditions that have been added actually over the years. You can study history and see when different things were added, like the Christmas trees came out of Germany. And, you know, these things were added over the centuries, really, to add to the celebration of the birth of Jesus. And we've embraced these traditions for so long that we forget that they've actually got absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. The four books in the Bible known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just those four books give us the details about the life of Jesus. Yet out of those four books that talk about the life of Jesus, only two books, the book of Matthew and the book of Luke, describe the birth of Jesus in some detail. Except they do from two different vantage points. For example, Matthew talks about the wise men and the star. You won't read about the wise men or the star anywhere else in the Bible. While Luke talks about the shepherds and the manger. They both, these two books, emphasize the virgin birth, and that is very, very important to our salvation. Maybe we could talk about that another time. And those two books quote the prophecies from the Old Testament about the coming birth of Jesus. But the book of Mark, what about Mark? It's the smallest gospel. What about Mark? Well, the book of Mark, he doesn't even bother to talk about the birth of Jesus at all. Mark just begins his account about Jesus for when Jesus was baptized in water by John. And the book of John, well, he doesn't start with the birth of Jesus. Instead, he does something completely different. He goes all the way back to talk about Jesus before the creation of the world. John says this, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." The Word, say it again, the Word. Yeah, and the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was with God, the Word was God. John, you know, he didn't want to talk about the star. He didn't want to talk about the shepherds. John just simply wanted us to know that Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem, but rather Jesus has always been, because Jesus Christ is Almighty God. God the Word. And then John describes the whole birth of Jesus in just one sentence. John 1:14, he says this, "So the Word became human and made his home among us." Thanks, John, for the details. That's it. That's it. However, the Bible does not trivialize the birth of Jesus, and neither should we, by the way. But rather, the Bible's main overwhelming focus is on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So because of that, the Bible tells us when Jesus died on the cross. The Bible's very specific about that. And we know how long Jesus was on the cross. We know when Jesus rose again from the dead. The Bible gives us clear details about these very important events. However, we don't know the exact month when Jesus was born, because the Bible does not think that the exact date of his birth is that important to the story. If God wanted us to know the date of the birth of Jesus, he would have told us. By the way, incidentally, most scholars think that Jesus was born round about late September, probably, but we don't really know for sure. It probably was not December the 25th. The early Christians found this date to be more practical than accurate. And that's all okay as far as I'm concerned. Who's okay with that? I'm just saying what's important. What is important is the reason why Jesus was born. That's what's important. The reason why Jesus was born. And the date is incidental to the reason. Therefore, I'm still headed somewhere, by the way. Therefore, I think, as a pastor and as a Christian myself, I think it's great just to go ahead and enjoy Christmas. Enjoy all the Christmas traditions. Have a fun time, but behave yourselves. You're Christians even when you're celebrating, amen? Don't. It's good to have some wholesome fun. Of course it is. But for us who are followers of Jesus, also, I'd just like to suggest this. We would also do well this Christmas, just take time out and pause. Just pause and take some time out and peel away all the traditions and remember Jesus Christ and that he came to rescue us from our sins and make us right with God. We would do well to take time out and worship him just as the wise men and the shepherds came and worshipped Jesus. And the shepherds and the wise men, when they worshipped Jesus, they worshipped him with great joy. And I suggest we do the same this Christmas time. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Joy to the world, because the Lord is come. Amen. That's what it's all about. Now, we all know that most people will not be worshipping Jesus this Christmas time. After all, the reason why they won't be worshipping Jesus is because they don't worship Jesus any other time of the year anyway. Most will be just celebrating and eating lots of food, and they'll not give another thought about Jesus at all. Many will enjoy singing carols. They'll walk around the shops and they'll hear the carols in the background. They'll enjoy carols because it's part of the Christmas tradition. But they'll not think about Jesus at all. They won't give Jesus another thought. And this lack of acknowledging Jesus, for me, and probably for you too, is the sad part of Christmas. It's sad that people can enjoy the traditions of Christmas and yet be completely blind to the original reason for Christmas. The Apostle John spoke about this exact situation when he said this. He said, Jesus came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his very own people, and even they rejected him. But then John declared, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so while I sincerely hope that everybody has a wonderful Christmas, great time with your family, do whatever it is you're into, I pray that you have a blessed Christmas. My real prayer for you and your family is that you come to know Jesus Christ for yourself as your as Lord and Savior. So, you know, if you're new, particularly today, please, I just encourage you, please let Christmas be a reminder to you that Jesus Christ loves you and that he came into the world to save your soul. Amen. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is coming again. He's coming a second time. However, Jesus Christ isn't going to come like the babe of Bethlehem again. Instead, Jesus Christ will come in his full glory as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Jesus Christ will come to bring this present age that we live in to its final conclusion. And there will be no ambiguity about the return of Jesus, because the Bible says that every eye shall see him. And the whole world will know that the King has arrived. He's coming again. And I mention this real life church, my brothers and sisters, because I was reading Matthew 24 this week, just part of my regular Bible reading, and where Jesus talks in detail about his planned second coming. And by the way, Jesus has got his second coming all worked out. But once again, what I did notice is that there's no date given to when he will return. Anybody who says they know the date of Christ's return is a false prophet. But Jesus just expects his followers to live ready for his return. However, we must acknowledge that Jesus did give us a number of signs of the times that indicate what the world will be like when he returns. And so I'm just reading through Matthew 24, and then I came to this couple of sentences that of the signs of the time, Jesus speaking, it's all in red in my Bible, And as I read it, it just struck me in my heart. And I knew that I had to share this verse or these verses with us today. Is that all right, everybody?
Yes.
Actually, I don't really care if it's not all right. I just know what God's told me to do. I don't know why I say that. I got to stop that. And this is what Jesus said that caught my attention. He said this, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. These are very strong words. They're very unpleasant words that Jesus spoke. Yet I am convinced that Jesus was talking about today. Really, I am convinced these sentences are for today. I'm convinced that as Jesus looked into the future and as he's prophesying, I'm convinced he was looking at our world today, our generation. Because all you got to do is just look around and you'll see that our society for a long time now has had no place for God. And our society is spiraling out of control. Our society is spiraling into depths of profound wickedness, depravity, and decadence. I'm not a judgmental person. I don't think I'm judgmental. Do you think I'm judgmental? I'm not judgmental. I'm not. And I'm not being judgmental right now. I'm certainly not being Pharisaic. When I talk like this, but I'm just simply stating the obvious facts. We need to open our eyes and see that the depravity and sin is very much rampant everywhere, and people are not coping with life. And as the darkness in our land increases, people's unhappiness seems to increase at the same time. I remind you that you and I, same for me too, with what I'm about to say, we are constantly being bombarded with values and ideas that contradict the wholesome, life-giving teachings of God's Word, the Bible. And I believe this is God's Word, literally God's Word. You, every day, are being bombarded with values and opinions that are destructive to your soul. They are destructive to your family. They are destructive to your relationships. They're destructive to your marriage. And they're destructive to your walk with Almighty God. Every day you're being bombarded with such values and opinions. And the source of this bombardment is primarily from the screens in your life. TV screens. Where's my screen? We've all got a screen with us today. See how I value my screen? It's an iPhone 11, everybody. Wow. Well, there you go. There you go. It was a good catch. But I'm trying to, I guess I'm making a point. TV screens? We impact us. Absolutely, TV does. Absolutely. Isn't there so much rubbish on TV?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not just talking about, TV's generally boring anyway, but filth. 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 Even the adverts are filthy half the time. Anyway, computer screens, movie screens. Is it just me who's noticed that? It just seems now they can't put a movie on without having to say the F word anymore. What is that? What is that? What's that? What's going on? And gaming screens, mobile phone screens. You know, anyway, there you go. And also, it's not just the screens in your life. You can be bombarded with values that contradict the wholesome teaching of God's Word by the kind of people that you hang out with too. You know. There's so much moral rubbish, there is so much spiritual rubbish, and there's so much mental rubbish. It's being poured into your mind every day from sources that have no respect for decency and no respect for God. We've got people giving us their opinions on TV and they have no respect for Almighty God, and yet they set them up like it, jolly experts. What they say must be true because they're the experts. And this stuff that I'm talking about, and I don't want to get too carried away, that's why I have notes, so I don't get carried away, amen. This stuff is eroding your soul. It is. It is. It erodes your soul and it hinders the favor of God working in your life. And so for our own health's sake, mental health, spiritual health in particular, even physical health, for our own health's sake, we've got to be more discerning about those we're listening to and what we're watching on those screens. Because rampant sin is everywhere. And we are so immersed, and it's unavoidable because we live here, we're just so immersed in this dirty world with all of its tinsel and glitter and glamour that we followers of Jesus, we're getting dirty too. And sometimes we don't realize it's actually happening to us. And foolishly, we adjust our godly values and rationalize away the wisdom of God's word to accommodate the ever-changing worldview of our fallen society. Because we don't want to be the odd ones out. And so please understand, this is a great Christmas message, by the way, isn't it? I just responding to what I felt the Lord say. We got to understand, and I feel I'm very strong about this, and I can show you from the scriptures. We need to understand that the wickedness in the land is building up. I'd like to do a whole sermon on this one day. The scales are tipping. And we can see already that the earth is groaning under the weight of our sin. It's got nothing to do with carbon at all. It's groaning under the weight of our sin. And heaven is watching and getting ready to make a move. The move's coming close. The signs are there. How much more wicked can this place become? And Jesus prophesied that in the last days, before he makes his move to return, rampant sin will cause his followers to lose their devotion to him. Jesus actually said in other versions of the Bible, it says that the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because of an increase in wickedness. In other words, we get caught up with the two. In the Bible, you can read the story how the Apostle Paul once had a fellow preacher, a really good guy named Demas. He was a top guy, a likable guy. And he was working with Paul one day on a missions trip. But one day he sadly said to Timothy, this is what Paul said to Timothy, Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life. Demas, a preacher, a good man, should have known better. But he gave his heart to the temporal things of this life, and so he deserted following Jesus. Because you cannot serve the world and serve Jesus Christ at the same time. And in these last days, there's a huge battle going on to win your heart and your mind. It's a relentless battle that's after your heart, the devotion of your heart. And the devil, who is real and literal, wants to take your love. He wants to push you. He wants to move you. He wants to bombard you with thoughts that will cause you to take your love and your devotion for Jesus and then redirect your love and your devotion to other things and to other priorities. That's going on all the time. The spirit of this world is values, its ways, its pleasures, its promises, its opinions are attempting to seduce those who have pledged their hearts to Jesus Christ. There is this massive onslaught against the body of Christ. And so it's very dangerous for you and for me to flirt with the world. We've got to stop flirting with the world. The book of Proverbs warns us about this, and it says this, Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that looks harmless enough, but look again, it leads straight to hell. Wow, what a warning that is. Everybody, don't be seduced by the world. Don't fall in love with the things of this life. Keep your love fervent for Jesus and Almighty God. So Jesus warned us that sin will be rampant everywhere and that the love of many will grow cold. But then Jesus said this, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. I want to be the one. Anybody else want to be the one? Of course you do. That's why I'm talking about this today. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. I want to go all the way with Jesus. Anybody with me? You know, we haven't come this far to give up now. We're going all the way with Jesus. How about you? How about you? Why would any follower of Jesus give up eternity and the rewards of God for the fleeting pleasures of this life? But nonetheless, it happens. So we have to ask the honest questions. How do you endure in the world when the temptations keep coming, and sometimes the temptations are really strong? Who gets tempted? I do. How do you endure when there is so much wickedness? Sometimes I found another thing's happening in my life. Temptations, I always get tempted, of course I do. But I've actually found, I don't know if it's an age thing or whatever, but I'm finding that I'm actually developing a wariness of wickedness. Anybody understand what I'm saying? That I find just all the wickedness just actually quite wearying at times. I'm just being honest. The other question is, how do you endure when you lose your friends because you want to follow Jesus and they don't? And that really hurts when you lose a good friend. How do you manage that? Thank God the Bible gives us just some really good advice. And I just want to look at just three quick answers and then we're going to finish up. First of all, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what other Christians experience. And God is faithful. That's a good thought for today, isn't it? God is faithful. He doesn't leave you as an orphan. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. That's interesting. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Amen. Now, this is very important, because enduring to the end and staying faithful to the Lord Jesus is really always a choice. You've got to make a choice. I'm going to endure to the end. And you make that choice. And when you make that choice to stay faithful to the Lord, then God always makes a way so that you can endure. There's always a way of escape from temptation. Take it when you see the way. Get out of there in Jesus' name. That's the first thing. Secondly, the Bible says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your heart if you want to endure and be saved. Make guarding your heart your key priority today. It's so important. Guard your heart. I'm just thinking, I'm just trying to think of an analogy that's not in the notes. And the obvious analogy is in your marriage, isn't it? We celebrate January the 8th, 37 years of marriage. How about that? And let me tell you, marriages don't just happen. Good marriages don't just happen. You can only get so far on sex, 2 or 3 weeks, and then that's and then, I'm just joking. But you can, seriously, I'm talking about in a relationship. And you can only get so far on chemistry. And we're fortunate. We have a chemistry and we have a friendship. But marriage only lasts so far long. Yeah. You, you've got to guard your heart. And in a marriage, you've got to guard your heart. I said vows to the lady on the front row 37 years ago, and I intend keeping those vows. And vice versa. And I over the years is... Anyway, I'll leave the story there. Amen. Over the years. But you got... Seriously, and I'll tell you this, and jokes aside, I love my wife more than I've ever loved her in my life. And I'm saying that just to make it all feel good, for you to think better of me. Not at all. I just don't care. That's the truth. And because you've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard your heart. When some other lady comes along and flicks her eyelashes at you, you've got to guard your heart in Jesus' name. Got to guard. Anyway. Got to make guarding your heart your key priority, because your eternal destiny is dependent on protecting your heart. I go as far as to say your heart is probably one of the most important things in your life. And obviously we're not talking about the organ that pumps the blood around your body. We're talking about you. Your heart is your center, your spirit and soul. And the Bible talks a lot about the heart. Your heart is so important that God says your heart actually determines the outcome of your life, the course of your life. Other people don't. Circumstances don't. The world, and don't get upset with me on this, I can explain it later, but even God does not determine the course of your life. Your own heart determines the course of your life. This is because your heart always centers upon something or someone to treasure and worship. If you fall in love with the world, you will become like the world and end up where the world's going to end up. But if you fall in love with Jesus and worship Jesus, you'll become like Jesus and you'll be with him for eternity in heaven. Guard your heart. So keep your heart a place that belongs to Jesus Christ. Keep your heart for him. And finally, the Bible also says, keep away from anything. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. If you've got a weakness and you're fallen, you see, we've got to manage ourselves. There's some things that the Lord delivers you from, then there's some things you've got to manage. That's how it is, the Christian life. And it's different for different people. I have to manage myself. You've got to manage yourself. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. If you've got a weakness for something or someone, then before they get a grip on your life, move away from them. Cut it away or cut them out of your life, because your future is really, really important to you. It's not about getting other people to like you. It's about pleasing Jesus Christ. I remember many years ago, there was this guy in my life, a Christian friend. I used to hang out with him and I used to enjoy socializing with him. And he was, one of the reasons was, we just really connected, we had good chemistry, but he was a joker. And he would joke and in different ways, and I'd just be roaring my head off. It was just great being with him. But sometimes his behavior and humor, he used to drift across the line. And I used to drift with him. And his attitude when I was with him used to rub off on me. So I was a different person when I was with Rochelle, but when I was with him, I became this other person. And this friend had a strong influence over me, and I behaved poorly when I was with him. So even though I enjoyed being with this guy, I really did enjoy his humor and all of that. He was a good friend. Even though I enjoyed all of that, I had to choose. I had to make a decision to pull back from spending so much. I wasn't rude to him. He probably didn't even notice in the early days. But just, I pulled back. Pulled back spending my time with him because he was not good for me in my walk with Jesus Christ. And I made a decision. Jesus Christ is more important to me than having a joke with this bloke over here. Amen. Smart Christians keep away from anything or anyone that might take God's place in their hearts. Smart Christians know that the stakes are high and they want to be the one who endures to the end and are saved. There are things that are bad that I would like to do. That's a terrible thing for a pastor to say, isn't it? This is going to be beamed all around the world. Or there's some bad things I would like to have. I'm just being honest with you. And you're the same. I really would. There were some things I would like to do that appeal to me, but they're bad. At the same time, I also don't want to do those things that appeal to me. I don't want to have those bad things because I want to honor Jesus. So every day I live my life, I live in tension. Some days more than others. And you do too. We all do. Paul spoke about this. And quite frankly, even though I'm a pastor, it makes no difference. I do not trust my own sinful nature. My sinful nature has betrayed me so many times. I know I've got weaknesses. Chocolate, cheesecake. I'm just joking. I got weaknesses. I got weaknesses, and I know what they are because Rochelle's told me them many times. So, this is what I do. I don't go near those bad things I want to do because I can't trust myself. It's better that I just stay away from those things. I stay right away from those people. And I'm careful also with whom I allow to speak into my life. The stakes are high. I want to endure to the end, and so do you. So what great advice. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. And that's what Christians do. We're determined to endure to the end and be saved. So in conclusion, look for the way of escape when temptation comes. Guard your heart. Keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts. In 10 days' time, we will be remembering and celebrating the first time that Jesus stepped into the world. And let's all of us enjoy those celebrations. But let's also keep living passionately for Jesus, because soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come again. Are you ready?